Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to Killer Queens.
Or KQ if you're nasty.
Welcome to the show where two 90s loving country chicks gab about true crime and tell each other to talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I'm Torella.
And I'm Tori.
And we're sisters who have always loved true crime and decided to turn that obsession into a show with a light take on the topic.
Kind of like diet true crime, it's all the flavor and fewer calories.
Now with our show, you'll get true crime, 90s nostalgia, and a few four-letter words sprinkled in.
Because I always say that Polly Pockets and true crime go together like peas and carrots.
Be sure to check out our case submission form on our website at killerqueenspodcast.com and follow us on social media and YouTube.
Now grab your Surge, your 3D Cool Ranch Doritos, and your kitten surprise, and let's get into the episode.
This episode contains discussion of murder of a child, drug use, domestic dispute and violence, death threats, and child sex abuse images. Listener discretion is advised.
13-year-old Haley Dunn went missing from her home 2 days after Christmas in Texas in 2010. She remained a missing person until her remains were found in 2013. Though her body was laid to rest in 2017, an arrest wasn't made until 2021, and that person has since been released. Haley's case is still open and unsolved 14 years later.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Killer Queens. If you've never been here before, we want to give you just a little information about how the show is set up and what it's meant to accomplish. If you have been here before, welcome back. You can just use that handy skip ahead feature here if you want to.
We want to give a message to friends and family of the victims. We know that there may be someone involved in the case who might listen one day, and we want you to know that our intention is to only bring awareness to this case. And while we do use personal stories in some instances and our own humor in order to tell the story in a way that listeners can relate, we have the utmost respect for victims and their families.
We created Killer Queens to be a place where we can have open discussions about cases just like you would with friends. We are not investigators. We use information that is available to the public, such as documentaries, case files, and media coverage. Using this information, we intend to tell the story of what happened in each case that we cover. Now, will you agree with our interpretations or conclusions of each case? Well, heck no.
Mm-mm. We each approach cases from different perspectives, life experiences, and beliefs that we already have in place. And sometimes these differences are slight, yet they can be wide enough to cause divide and upset some of those listening. We do our best to present the facts as we find them in our research, but we do bring our own perspectives to the case. We understand that you will too. We want you to know that this is a safe space to discuss differences and opinions in a civilized manner. Our style may not be your personal preference, and if that's the case, we know you'll be able to find one of the many other shows out there to tell the story the way you want to hear it. We can be grown-ups about it if you can.
Now, if we are your cup of tea and you want even more KQ, you can join our Patreon and get access to our entire catalog of episodes ad-free and access to bonus episodes too. And I'll give you just a little hint if you're an ad skipper, but you still want the deals that we have from our sponsors each week, you can scroll down to the show notes and see what coupons we have available for you right down there.
But you didn't hear it from us.
That's a pro tip, but I'll deny ever sharing it.
Right. So all that being said, let's get into the story.
All right. And we have got a couple thank yous on this one. We want to give a hey girl thanks to... I gotta move so I can get to it. Sorry. To Becca S. and Jenna for requesting the case.
Yes, thank you so much. And thank you to Beth for writing this up.
Thank you. And we know unsolved ones are tough. Obviously, child cases are very tough. This one will be, I think, less tough in the unsolved arena because it's pretty friggin' obvious who it is.
It's real friggin' obvious, yeah.
Real friggin' obvious. We just don't have enough to...
We're going to be like allegedly, but it's like allegedly, obviously. Like
obviously, allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. Haley Darlene Dunn was born on August 28th, 1997 to Clinton and Billie Jean Dunn. She had a brother named David and attended... Okay, so they lived in Colorado City, Texas. It looks like Colorado, but don't you do it.
Well, and we just talked about this where it was like Colorado Springs and we're like obviously in Colorado. And now here we are, Colorado City.
Colorado City, Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. So she went to Colorado Middle School in Colorado City, Texas. She was described as being crazy, funny, random, and someone who knew exactly what she wanted by her friend Catherine.
I love that statement all by itself because a kid, well, I want to say a kid, but like when I was that age, I probably would have been like, oh my gosh, like what word would I use to describe Trella? She's so random. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know that I would say that. I don't know. It's just funny to me. I was like, that's such a kid thing to say. Like, so, or like a little like teenage thing to say. You're so random.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. Haley was a cheerleader. She played basketball and softball, and she played the saxophone in the middle school band. You don't hear sax that much, I feel like.
Not really. And that's a sexy little instrument, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You hear a lot of clarinet.
Oh, yes. I played the clarinet.
Mm-hmm. You hear a lot of...
Flute. Flute is a big one for females in the band. Yes.
Trombone, maybe?
Oh.
But...
Drumline?
Yeah, but saxophone. I was surprised.
I like it. Yeah.
And Haley's favorite color was purple.
Oh, me too, girl.
And unfortunately, that's pretty much all we know about Haley. We don't have a ton of other information about her.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Haley lived with her mom, Billie Jean, and her live-in boyfriend, Sean Atkins, along with her brother, David, in Colorado City, Texas. And according to bestplaces.net, Colorado City has a higher violent crime rate than the U.S. average. There are 27.6 reported crimes per 1,000 residents. December 27th, 2010 is the last day that Haley was seen. And according to Sean, Haley left the home to go to a friend's house, but Haley actually never made it to that friend's house. And Billie Jean reported her missing the next day, which was December 28th, 2010. When Billie Jean and Sean Atkins spoke with the police that day, Atkins told them that Haley left their house and was planning to walk over to her father, Clint's house, and then go over to her friend's house to spend the night. Haley did not go to her dad's house, and the friend confirmed that she was not expecting Haley that night. Sean Atkins was the last person to see Haley.
Why this did not, I mean.
That's a red flag if there ever was a red flag.
Exactly. And her dad lived across the street from her. It's not like she got lost on the way there. Like,
right.
Literally across the street. But they initially classified her as a runaway. As they do. And Haley's mom says she's never run away before. She's never done this before. She's never tried to run away before. She's in contact with her grandmother every single day on the phone. She goes and sees her dad or talks to him every single day. And like now that's not happening all of a sudden.
Right. It's just, I know.
Okay, y'all. Real talk. I have a question. Would you ever put your face on a toilet seat? Would you just snuggle up to a toilet seat, like ever? Of course not. I hope not. But of course not, right? Did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? That's horrifying, right? It's horrifying. And it can lead to acne, allergies, and stuffy noses. And honestly, it is just plain gross, okay? So if you wouldn't put your face on a toilet seat, then you gotta make sure that you're only putting your face on Miracle Made sheets. They offer a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth and require up to 3 times less laundry. Let me tell you something. My whole life feels like doing laundry. If you can sign me up for less laundry, then it's a done deal. Like, say less, right? Miracle Made's bed sheets are inspired by NASA, so they use silver-infused fabrics and make temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. Like, as if the antibacterial wasn't enough, now we've got temperature regulating. I mean, I don't think that anything could get any better, right? So you get better sleep every night, right? And the sheets are infused with silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets. So no more gross odors. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands and feel as nice, if not nicer, than sheets used by some 5-star hotels. I mean, come on. So stop sleeping on bacteria. Bacteria, like we said, it can cause breakouts. It clogs your pores. It causes acne. You got to sleep clean with Miracle. So go to trymiracle.com/queens. That is trymiracle.com/queens to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, you guys, Mother's Day is coming up. If you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code QUEENS at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/queens and use the code QUEENS to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/queens to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Searches for the missing 13-year-old began immediately, and law enforcement and the community banded together to find Haley. On January 4th, 2011, the Texas Rangers brought in the FBI to aid in the search. Billie Jean and Sean both took polygraph tests in January. Billboards went up with Haley's photo and missing persons information on January 6th. On the same day, Billie Jean admitted that both she and Sean failed their polygraph exams. Now, of course, we know with polygraphs that you got to take it with a grain of salt. Polygraphs are not admissible in court. However, it's definitely something that what police officers or law enforcement use as a good indicator of should we look into this person, but it doesn't hold water necessarily. But
no, yeah.
Sean.
No, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no.
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 Sean walked out on his first two polygraphs, but finally submitted on the third attempt. An affidavit notes that when he finally submitted, he showed deception, and he indicated that Haley would be found in Scurry County, and the affidavit stated that the results indicated that he was being truthful. However, when he was asked a second time, he refused to answer. Then police asked him who they should be looking at, and he said, quote, both of us, in regards to himself and Billie Jean.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. It's almost like I would have expected more that he was hypnotized and said it. And then he's like, shit. Why did I say that?
Like, I would like to know what the question exactly read, because I could see if they were saying like, well, if we're doing our due diligence, you know, who should we be looking at? Because I have seen people be like, well, you should look at everybody. Like, okay, yeah, you should look at me. But then you move on, you know, because you don't find anything or whatever. But Sean Atkins, not the brightest crayon in the box, y'all.
No, not the brightest bulb in the tanning bed. But during Billie Jean's first polygraph exam, according to the affidavit, she was found to be under the influence of narcotics and the test was stopped. Now, I've heard that she was under the influence, if you can call this, of anxiety medication. Those were the quote unquote narcotics that she was under the influence of. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
That's what she said later, but I don't know that she had a prescription for it.
And I'm honestly not entirely positive that they would have stopped it if that was what she was, quote unquote, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. As somebody who takes anxiety medication, now I don't know what kind of anxiety medication she was taking.
Yeah.
Was it, oh my God, Xanax?
Yeah, the way they made it sound, it was something that was stronger, but Billie Jean is also a known drug abuser, Sean Atkins as well. So it may have been that it was significant enough to the point that they were like, have you taken something today? Or
6 days, 7 nights, where one, it's like, I don't know about Xanax, but I've heard this about martinis. They're like boobs. Two are great. Three's too many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See,
unless you're a dog, then you have 13. Which, that's way too many of anything.
Way too many. Tea mini martinis is what that is.
Even chocolate milks, honestly. That's too many chocolate milks.
Yep.
Because then you'll get a tummy ache. But anyway, I don't know what she was under the influence of. But during the second polygraph, the affidavit indicated that she had failed and she couldn't explain why. And the polygraph test was over when she decided to walk out. Now, during his statement to police, Sean said that on December 27th, 2010, he went to work to quit his job. And when he left work that morning, he immediately made the drive to Big Spring to visit his mother. And for context, according to Google Maps, Colorado City is about a 28-minute drive south of Snyder. And Snyder is where he worked. So, and Snyder is about a 51-minute drive southwest to Big Spring. And it's kind of like a triangle. This is like between the three cities. But cell phone pings show that Sean actually stopped in Colorado City after leaving Snyder and before heading to Big Spring. But he did not say that he did that to the police.
He surely did not.
No.
Hey, y'all. You know how Tori is basically a Spice Girl and dresses the cutest and has the best makeup and hair in the whole world? Or like how I can't stop buying stuff on Amazon, mostly for my kids? Well, we get asked all the time, where does Tori get her clothes and makeup? And what stuff am I constantly overbuying to make mom and home life easier? So we made a links page. Head over to killerqueenspodcast.com/links and scroll down to shop our style or our Amazon faves. Here you'll find all the posts you can shop with our unique links to each item, as well as our Amazon storefront, where we have lists like 90s finds. This is curated by Tori with all the best 90s stuff like Tamagotchis and My Little Ponies, my back to school must-haves list, gift ideas for kiddos that I love, podcast essentials if you ever want to start your own show, and more. And we add to it all the time. Now, to be totally honest, we do make a commission if you use these links to make a purchase, and we always appreciate everything you do to keep the lights on over here. So be sure to head to killerqueenspodcast.com/links and scroll down to shop our style or our Amazon faves to totally twin with us. We love you guys to the moon, and we cannot wait to share all of our style and life faves with you.
Police also learned from Clint Haley's father that her brother David was told or had told him that he had tried to enter his mom's home on December 27th, but the door was locked. He ended up going in through a window, and once inside, he saw Sean standing there, quote, like a deer in the headlights.
And he had like knocked on the door for several minutes waiting for somebody to open it.
Couldn't get in. Yeah.
And he couldn't get in. And then he climbs in through a window and there's Sean.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you answer the door, dude?
I know, exactly.
I fucking live here. Like,
I don't, you cannot trust Sean as far as you can throw him. That's for damn sure. During the search for Haley, the police continued to look into Sean and Billie Jean and learned that the couple made two separate withdrawals totaling $140 the day that Haley went missing and bought drugs in Snyder, the city where Sean worked. Investigators also learned that Sean and Billie Jean hosted a New Year's Eve party at their home while Billie Jean's 13-year-old daughter was missing. Billie Jean stated that it was not a party and just a few people were over and no alcohol was served, but there are conflicting reports.
Yeah, she's like, Sean talks about people coming over for New Year's Eve. She says later in an interview, I didn't even know it was New Year's Eve. I didn't realize that was the day it fell on. And then she's like, people were just coming over to support us. Like, but Clint, they forgot Clint lives across the fucking street. And he's like, I'm out there standing on my porch with my binoculars, seeing looking if Haley's going to walk up, you know, like, yeah, looking for her. And he's like, I see people bringing in all kind of alcohol and nah. They were having a fucking New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
Your daughter is missing.
Exactly.
As the investigation continued, police searched Billie Jean and Sean's home, where they found a box with hundreds of documents on different types of crimes, such as mass murderers, serial killers, sexual sadists, murder of family members, different types of motives, etc. On its face, it's weird that they're printed out, but this is also 2010.
Yeah. I was doing much more printing in 2010 than I would be today.
Sure, sure. But the specific crimes that they had, because I read the search warrant, was Edmund Kemper, Gary Heidnik. They're looking at serial killers who are killing young women and have that sexual component to the crimes. Specifically, yeah. Printing out lots and lots and lots of shit about that. Billie Jean said, it's just a hobby.
I think it's interesting because you could say, like, Well, Billie Jean maybe didn't know about it, and maybe Sean, they were all Sean's images or Sean's whatevers, but
they're not.
She says, no, mm-hmm. it was just a hobby. Yeah. But if you or I had that kind of stuff in our house, which I've got like 4 books just on serial killers alone,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that I think is normal.
Mm-hmm. And also somebody close to you has not gone missing who fits the profile of the victims.
Right.
In these cases. And I saw an interview with Billie Jean where she was like, you know, I'm not the only person that watches your show that, you know, is interested in this kind of stuff. True crime is huge right now and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, it is. But again,
you have to take it all together though,
in totality.
Right?
It's your daughter has gone missing.
Right. Mm. Your boyfriend, last person who saw her. He's sketchy as fuck.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't even got to all the sketchy shit about him.
No.
No.
It's just bizarre. I don't know. I think a lot of the cases that we cover, it's like one thing by itself. We don't love it, but I could, fine. You take 17 of those things and you put them together and you're like, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And if, say they, for some reason, searched Billie Jean and Sean's home and a girl that they don't have any, even 3 girls that they have no relationship
connection to, right?
To connection to have gone missing in a 50-mile radius or whatever. And you find that stuff in their house and you're like, whoa, you know, that's a stretch, right? But this is somebody who lived in their home and he's the last person to see her alive.
Right.
And it turns out what he says she was doing wasn't what she was, you know, she didn't right. go to the dad's house, which was directly across the street.
And that friend did not have plans to have her over to spend the night that night.
They knew nothing about that. So can a kid lie about it? Sure. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Investigators also learned about a domestic dispute in the Dunn-Adkins home back in February of 2010. During this dispute, Adkins allegedly threatened to kill both Billie Jean and Haley. He originally denied this, but later said, yeah, I did make that threat.
He is a stand-up guy, isn't he?
Absolutely. Haley's uncle spoke about a conversation he had with Adkins after Haley went missing, where he made a comment that was like, how could anybody do something like this to a little girl, right? How could somebody, you know, do something awful to her? And he said that Sean replied to him, well, it's just like killing a deer. And
do what?
Yeah. And the uncle is like, the thing is, Sean does kill deer on the reg. He's a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he also dismembers them with a chainsaw. I don't know how you...
What is
dress
the proper...
a deer or whatever. But right. I don't remember anybody I've ever heard of using a chainsaw for it.
I am thinking, I don't know. Well, this is who I am as a person, but I'm just thinking of Limp Bizkit. You know, a pack of chainsaw. Right. What?
It just doesn't seem like the way... If you're going to try and get any meat out of that thing, a chainsaw is going to rip it to shreds, don't you think?
I would think so. But again, I don't know how to do this. I don't know.
I don't know. On January 12th, 2011, Sean Adkins officially became a person of interest in Haley's disappearance after police learned about the death threat to Haley and Billie Jean, as well as the murder box found in the home. On January 15th, cadaver dogs searched a landfill in Abilene and a landfill in Big Spring. They did initially have some hits on blood, but in the end, it wasn't Haley's. I don't know whose it was. I don't know if it was human or not.
Jeez.
Police stated at the time that these searches were done as a standard part of the investigation. They did not receive a tip for this. They just said that's just part of what they were doing. Throughout January and February of 2011, there were vigils held for Haley while search efforts continued. The searches were hindered for several weeks due to freezing temperatures, but did continue when the weather improved. Now, on February 25th, police found thousands of child sex abuse images on a memory stick found in the Dunn-Adkins home, along with the computer at Adkins' mother's home in Big Spring. You might be able to say other people have access to this computer, but not after you found it at your mama's house.
Right, exactly. And also, I'm shocked based on the way that they seem to categorize and organize images that they like to look at, why they didn't print those off and put them in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That is such a huge fucking deal. It's not even funny.
And
I mean, it's never funny, but you know what I mean?
No. Yes. And I don't think one too many. Thousands? That's outrageous. And in multiple places.
Mm-hmm. And your girlfriend's daughter, who presumably, I don't know the specifics on these images, but if they are child sex abuse images, then your girlfriend's daughter presumably fits into the age range.
Well, when you're 13, when you're 13, you are so, I'm not a girl, but not yet a woman, you know?
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And I hate that Haley was even put in a situation where she had to be around this person. Yeah. Because she's 13. She can't get out. You know, it's not like she can just move out.
Right. Exactly. And at some point, Haley's grandmother, so this is Clint's mom, says, so I saw some of the Nancy Grace stuff. Nancy Grace did a bunch on this at the time. Billie Jean and the grandmother, Connie, I believe her last name is Jones, did interviews. Connie called in, Billie Jean was on camera. And Connie says, because Nancy's like, you know, I heard something about you trying to get custody of Haley or something like that before she disappeared. And she said, yes. And Billie Jean is like, that's the first I've ever heard of anybody trying to get custody and like, whatever. And Nancy asks her why. Like, what was the motivation for that? And Connie says, Haley told me multiple times that she was afraid of Sean, that she would see the light on in the hallway at night while they're supposed to be asleep, and his feet would appear under the door.
Yes.
And he'd just stand outside her door for like a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really scared her. And Billie Jean was like, well, how come nobody thought to tell me? And I think that when you hear what happens next, first of all, if anybody did tell her, they knew they couldn't tell her because she wouldn't believe it or she'd cover for him. But this next part makes me think maybe somebody did tell you because I'm sorry, but I don't trust anything she says.
Right.
I just don't. So on March 17th, 2011, Billie Jean admits to lying to police about Adkins' whereabouts that day. So the police had a search warrant to search Sean Adkins, for Sean Adkins. And when they came to Billie Jean's door, she said, he's not here. I don't know where he is. But he was. They found his ass there. So she gets arrested and was charged with like lying to police, hindering an investigation, also drug charges. She was sentenced to a year of probation after pleading no contest in June of that year. Why are you protecting him?
Well, and there's something that I just don't understand in all of this. And this is not the only case that I don't understand this whole concept. Why you have children, but you, rather than protecting your children, you protect your significant other, who is a trash bag of a person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who is the only suspect, prime mm-hmm. suspect at best, only suspect probably, in your daughter's disappearance.
Yes.
And she's been missing at that point for over a year and a few mm-hmm. months. She's been missing. And this man is in trouble again. The police have a warrant for him. And you're going to lie about, like, everything's pointing to he has something to do with it. And she right. may or may not know that. If she doesn't know that, wouldn't you be like, I think I'm done with you, dude? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. After the sentencing, she moved to Travis County, which is about 250 miles from Colorado City. Shortly after Billie Jean's arrest, police announced that they were investigating as if Haley was either deceased or under duress. Search efforts started to dwindle at this point, and the one-year anniversary of Haley's disappearance came and went. In 2012, human remains were found near the home of Sean Adkins' mother in Big Spring in an airfield. But after an autopsy was performed, they were determined to be those of a male. According to the Big Spring police, the remains appear to have been there for a really long time. It doesn't appear that these remains have ever been identified. Beth wasn't able to find any information. I didn't see anything. Just, again, other remains, unfortunately. Then on March 16th, 2013, human remains were found near Lake J.B. Thomas, southwest of Snyder. Curtis Lloyd was searching for fossils when he found them. He said he had a feeling that they belonged to Haley based on the types of clothing that were found at the scene. Lloyd had found a skull, a tooth, and a femur, as well as blue sweatpants that Haley was last seen wearing. The remains were sent to the University of North Texas Center for Human Identification for DNA analysis on April 26, 2013. Police announced that the remains belonged to 13-year-old Haley Dunn. Sean Adkins was still a person of interest at this time, but he was not immediately arrested. What is interesting about where they found the remains, though, because remember in his polygraph, they said, where do you think we'll find Haley? And he said, Scurry County. That's exactly where she was found.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super, super far from where they lived.
But still.
But how the fuck did you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I can't imagine what it's like for Clint at this moment when he's like, I would think he'd be like, okay, they're going to get him.
Yeah.
And he's not arrested yet.
Exactly. In May of 2013, another vigil was held for Haley at Colorado Middle School, and more than 350 people came. Haley's friends, family, and teachers gathered and remembered Haley through prayers, songs, pictures, and shared memories. Her principal, Mark Merrill, said of her, quote, Haley was a doer. She set an example for others to follow. She will always be one of us in spirit. And he said that after Haley went missing, the students banded together to print banners and held a Haley Week. Haley's name was written in purple flowers, and they had country western music playing while a slideshow of pictures was played. In 2016, it was said that Curtis Lloyd would likely only be able to collect about $10,000 in reward money unless something were to change. So initially, they had a $25,000 reward available for information. He could still receive up to $15,000 from the FBI. According to Colorado city officials, they had dissolved the town's reward fund and returned approximately $10,000 back to donors because they believed that Haley would never be found alive. Colorado City's manager at the time, David Hoover, said, quote, I hate to say it, but everyone had kind of given up hope that she was alive. The FBI wouldn't comment on the reward money to protect the safety, anonymity, and privacy of anyone who provides them with information. But so that's just kind of like a side note that, you know, and obviously he wasn't looking for the reward money. Like, he just did the right thing and called it in. But
right.
Haley's remains were not released back to her mother until 2017. Billie Jean wrote on the Hope for Haley Facebook page that part of Haley's journey had come to an end and she was happy to finally have her home. A private funeral for the family was held for Haley that year as well. In 2018, the investigation was turned over to Scurry County because that's where Haley's remains were found. And in 2019, Clint Dunn spoke out about the investigation into his daughter's death. He said he felt like he was left in the dark by law enforcement because they didn't communicate with him at all. Clint commented that the police had indicated to him that as soon as Haley's remains were found, an arrest would be made, but that did not happen.
See?
So Clint hired a private investigator, and when tips were received, they passed them over to law enforcement. But he said they rarely got replies. They didn't even know who was handling his daughter's case at the time. Very disorganized.
Very upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah.
11 years after Haley was reported missing and 9 after her remains were found, an arrest for her murder was made. Sean Adkins was arrested and charged with the first degree murder of Haley Dunn and for second degree tampering with evidence on June 14th, 2021 in Howard County, Texas. In September of 2021, Adkins was formally indicted for the first degree felony murder of Haley Dunn during a grand jury session. And it was stated that Haley's cause of death was a strike to her head with an unknown blunt object. He was also indicted for second degree felony tampering or fabricating physical evidence with intent to impair a human corpse. His bail was set at $2 million. After the arrest, Billie Jean told a Texas news outlet that she was relieved that an arrest was finally made, even though she found out from the news versus law enforcement. And she said that she wasn't shocked that it was Sean, but that she, of course, had hoped that it wasn't him because she did stay with him after Haley went missing. Help it make sense. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Anyway, she said, quote, he's been free to do whatever he wants and my family has suffered without Haley. Haley has missed out on graduation, on driving, on going to college, a career. I've missed out on so much. Upon the arrest, Clint, Haley's dad, said that at the time, there were no words to define how he felt and that they will let the trial speak the truth. And he said, quote, thank you to everyone who searched for Haley and to those who fought tirelessly for an arrest. Hopefully true justice will come in the courtroom.
Also, I'm sorry, just the like Billie Jean staying with Sean thing and all that. So yeah. That day he goes to work, he gets there at like 6 a.m. and by 6:10, he's out the door.
Yeah.
And initially he said he didn't.
He got into a fight with his boss.
He says he got in a fist fight with his boss and that's why he was fired. So he said his boss said something to him or something. He decks him. And then the boss is like, you're fired. And so he leaves. But he also says he didn't tell Billie Jean any of this because he thought she'd be pissed and like whatever. But then the police go and talk to the boss and they're like, what?
He just quit.
He just walked out. He didn't even quit.
Yeah.
He gets there. He goes to the vending machine and gets himself like a fucking Diet Dr. Pepper. And then he like looks at his boss and just leaves. Like he doesn't say anything to him. And Billie Jean in an interview said that that day Haley was home all day for whatever reason. And that was unusual.
She was home by herself too.
She was home by herself and that was very unusual for her. Now, who would have known that she was going to be by herself with nobody else there? And that was highly unusual. Sean. Exactly. And he gets to work and then fucking leaves, doesn't tell anybody. And we know that he made a stop.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
I know,
but all these things, like she knows
she
that
knew
point, that he's lying about everything. Even if she doesn't know what happened, she knows that the fight didn't happen, that everything that he has said falls apart.
Well, yeah, that he didn't go straight to Big Spring.
No. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just, yeah,
but she stayed with him, you know?
Yeah.
In December of 2021, Sean Atkins was formally read his rights again for the murder charge and his bail was then set at $1 million. In January of 2022, Matt Powell officially appeared as Atkins' attorney and requested to examine evidence on his behalf. In the same month, Powell filed a waiver of arraignment on Atkins' behalf. This waived his right to be arraigned in open court and at that time, they entered a not guilty plea on the record. In June of 2022, a pretrial hearing was set for July of that year, and the trial was moved to April of 2023. Then in July, Atkins filed a motion to move his trial. The motion was granted, and the venue was moved to Nolan County, Texas. Pretrial hearings were set for September of 2022, November of 2022, and February of 2023, with the trial beginning in April of 2023. In November, Atkins elected to have a full jury trial. Several pretrial motions were filed in November of 2022 as well, and Atkins filed a request for timely notice. This is going to be a tough one for me. Terrell, do you want to do it? It's too much for me.
Oh. Atkins filed a request for timely notice of the state's intention to use evidence of extraneous misconduct at trial, and Powell filed a motion for discovery to review all 911 calls related to Atkins' indictment. Powell also requested for discovery to review all autopsy reports of Haley Dunn's body, as well as all medical records that showed the physical condition of Haley and Atkins at the time of the alleged murder. This bothered me too. At the time of the alleged murder. Now, girl, she was murdered.
Yeah. How'd she get in the shape that she was in, if not for being murdered?
And they found blunt force trauma. Like, they found evidence of that. So, yeah. He requested their blood types for review as well.
I just knew that my brain could not handle all of the words in the order that they were in. And I was like, I'm going to mess it up. Terrell, you just take this because it's just, I just couldn't do it.
Well, and that's the thing with Sean Atkins. He has all kinds of other misconduct that you could bring in. You've got the 911 calls of, and Billie Jean and Sean called the police on each other kind of like all the time. They would get in these fights. They would call the police on each other. I'm pretty sure it went both ways. I assume that Billie Jean called more than he did probably, but there are calls where she says, my kids are home alone right now. Or in the one call where she says that he had threatened to kill them, she says that David was home alone at that point. Sean says he's going to come back and get clothes because they'd break up. They'd get back together. They'd break up. She'd kick him out. They'd get back together. Sean says he's coming back to get some clothes or some other items or something like that. She doesn't want there to be any trouble with David and him. Could you send a police officer out there? He's threatened to kill me and my daughter and like all this stuff. So like we have all of these domestic violence calls on record too, which can absolutely show a pattern of violence.
Like, yes, absolutely. Well, and I mean, it didn't happen, but if he's so willing to say he got in a fist fight with his boss, I don't know. It just, if that tracks, people probably think or know that you are a pretty violent character.
Exactly. For no reason. Like, he's just like, yeah, I don't know. I fucking just walked up and punched him. And people are like, okay, I guess I could see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Powell also requested to review all confessions, admissions, and or statements that were in writing and signed by Sean Adkins, as well as any recorded statements with law enforcement that were made prior to his grand jury indictment. He requested to review all other suspects that had been interrogated and or arrested. Another request was made to review all photographs, drawings, and charts made by the prosecution or investigators, as well as any photos of Haley from the crime scene and autopsy. He also filed for any photos of the suspects shown to witnesses. Powell requested to review all of the information investigators received about the murder through Crime Stoppers or any other tip program, to review any typed or and to review any typed or handwritten notes from police during the investigation. And lastly, he requested to review all names and addresses of each person the prosecution planned to use for expert opinion during the trial. Basically, they requested to get every single thing that the prosecution had.
Mm-hmm. Which
they
should be able to.
They should have all that.
I mean, they should get what they need, I guess. But
I know they always want to have like that like ace up their sleeve kind of thing where, but
yeah,
I don't know. Adkins asked for another change of venue in November of 2022 from Nolan County because he believed, quote, there exists knowledge and conclusion as to Adkins' guilt or innocence, and that these conclusions influence public opinion to the degree that Adkins cannot obtain a fair and impartial trial. Dates for pretrial and regular trial continued to move out, and after a pretrial hearing on June 14th, 2023, a new trial date was set for August of 2023.
If you're driving, please stop. If you're near a window, go away from it. If things or people you love are near the windows,
nearby,
go get them out of there. Get them out of there.
I also, I think what you need to do too is look for lighters or matches if there are any near you. Move them away from yourself.
Throw them in the garbage. Yep. Flush them down the toilet. I don't know what you got to do. But you're about to throw everything out the window. 100%. Uh-huh. Everything's gone.
And then light your house on fire.
Yeah.
Then in a huge turn of events, charges against Sean Adkins were dropped and he was released. The prosecution dismissed without prejudice, meaning he can still be charged in the future. The prosecution stated that further investigation is needed to prove the events beyond a reasonable doubt, and the prosecution made it clear in their filing that Sean Adkins remains the primary suspect in Haley's murder. The state provided Adkins with a 16-page Brady notice that details the evidence against him in this case. The document provided from the prosecution states that some of the tips provided to the different law enforcement entities involved in this case were not properly vetted, investigated, or cleared, and that in a criminal case based on circumstantial evidence, this is crucial.
Okay, guys, fucking do your job then. Why did we not properly vet this shit? Why did we not properly analyze the shit?
Well, and like, thankfully, he was released with prejudice, or without prejudice, excuse me, dismissed without prejudice, because they can still get him whenever they want to. However, he knows what they were going to, you know?
Yeah, like, if there's any...
He's got the upper hand now a little bit. I don't know.
Exactly. The problem is that this case was in such a precarious position that the mere request by his defense attorney to review the items prompted them to drop the charges because they knew they didn't have shit.
Right. And the thing is, I understand that law enforcement, a lot of times they will have pressure from media, from the family, from the community to make an arrest and make it happen quick. I get that. Mm-hmm. But doesn't it behoove them to make sure that they have all of their ducks in a row before they do that, even if it means that somebody is going to get pissed?
Well, yeah.
Because what are they going to get more pissed about?
Right.
Not bringing them to trial in a timely manner or releasing them?
Well, yeah. And they waited 11 years to arrest him anyway. So, like, what the fuck? But well, yeah. During that 11 years, why were you not vetting these things? And I don't know.
But we have more to talk about. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. So the document provided from the prosecution states that some of the tips provided to the different law enforcement entities. Oh, shit. I already said that.
Yeah.
The document also detailed that one of the critical pieces of evidence for the prosecution was a soil analysis that was conducted by a soil expert. In the initial investigation, investigators collected a pair of work boots that belonged to Sean Adkins. The expert used a testing method called, this is my favorite, it's so forensic files, it's not even funny. They used a testing method called the near-infrared spectroscopy, or NIRS.
Mm-hmm.
And concluded that the soil samples pulled from Adkins' boots had a high similarity with the soil collected from where Haley's body was found.
I don't care. Who gives a fuck if the soil was close to the soil, unless that soil was like made of fucking gold specks and you can't find it anywhere else ever.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's your fucking smoking gun?
Yeah. There's some dirt. Oh, shit, where we found her. There was some dirt there, too.
Also dirt. Yeah, that's the same thing as, like, meeting a guy and being like, you like pizza? I like pizza. Let's get married. Like, it's not the same.
Well, if we're doing that, then Lance Bass and I are definitely meant to be still.
See?
I changed my favorite color to hunter green for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah. And it didn't work out, okay?
It did not work out. No, it did not. But prior to this, the same soil samples were sent to the FBI crime lab in Quantico, Virginia, and used a peer-reviewed methodology and determined that the soil samples did not match. Who cares?
And if you sent it to the FBI and the FBI said, no, that didn't match, and then you are like, hey, Ed, why don't you take a look at it, see if you can find a match? And he's like, looks like the same fucking soil to me. That's not doing anybody any good. Like, just because Ed says so doesn't mean it is. Like,
I hope that Ed is actually the guy from the sawmill place. And he's like, hey, Ed, what you doing? And he's like, exactly.
Yeah. So annoying.
Oh, God. We have to laugh to not cry, honestly. We just have to. But yeah. The state of Texas met with the FBI crime lab and had them review the NIRS report, and it was determined this method had not been peer-reviewed, and they stand by the finding that the soil samples did not match. And because of this, the FBI does not believe the NIRS testing done by the state's experts should be relied on in criminal trial.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
Another issue with the investigation was that the autopsy report showed that Haley had blunt force injuries to her skull that were inflicted at or near the time of death. These injuries were, quote, catastrophic, and there would have been significant bleeding. However, throughout the multiple searches of the home, there was no forensic testing that the state knows at the home. Adkins' car was also searched multiple times, as well as the location where Haley's remains were found. Evidence was collected from both the car and the location. However, none was forensically tested.
Why?
Even a little bit of luminol.
A little bit of luminol goes a long way.
Yeah, just spread some of that out there.
And also, even if they had forensically tested and there was no blood found at the house, that really doesn't, she could have ridden in a car with him somewhere because she trusted him.
Yeah.
At least someone. I mean, she knows him. He lives with her. And then he could have done something to her somewhere else. But the fact that you don't even, you don't even test it?
You are glitching. Yes, exactly.
I know. Yeah.
Poor Clint Dunn.
What the fuck?
This document also cites the cell phone records of both Haley and Sean Adkins for December 27, 2010. The cell tower records show that Haley's phone sent an outgoing text at 2:16 p.m., then another at 2:27 p.m. At the same time, Adkins' phone was pinging to a tower in Big Spring at 1:40 p.m. and then at 2:40 p.m. The records also show that Adkins made a call at 2:56 p.m. that connected to a cell tower east of Big Spring but west of Colorado City. Records also show that Haley's phone connected to a cell tower in Colorado City. This information, though not conclusive, lends support to the idea that Haley may have been alive prior to 2:57 p.m. that day. We also learn in this document that David, Haley's brother, had been gone the night of December 26th, but returned about 5 p.m. on the 27th. He saw Adkins, but he did not see Haley. Then Adkins left to pick Billie Jean up from work in Snyder at 6 p.m. and was not alone again until the next morning. This leaves Adkins alone with Haley for 2 hours, approximately 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. This would have given him 2 hours to kill Haley, clean up any blood and other evidence, and hide the body. The document states, quote, "While this is not impossible, it presents additional challenges given the preceding issues."
But again, also, he may not have killed her in the home.
Well, that's what it seems like they're not even thinking that is a possibility. Like, they're not even letting that be a possibility, which is bizarre to me.
2 hours, I would think, is plenty of time, because if you look at, I don't know the exact location that they found her body in Scurry County, but I Google mapped their address on Chestnut Street in Colorado City to just Scurry County, and it's like 25 right. minutes away. So,
well, let's say that it was at the farthest most. He's got 2 hours, right? Let's say it takes him an hour to drive to the furthest point of Scurry County. I don't know how big Scurry County is, but let's say it does. That still gives him an hour to commit the murder and then drive away.
Yeah, and then he if it's outside, he doesn't have to clean it up. They don't find her for how many years?
3 years.
You know, so any blood evidence is going to be gone at that point.
Right.
Anything else like that, he could very easily have brought a change of clothes with him, or I don't know, but dumped his clothes in a dumpster somewhere. Like, you know, yeah. I just don't.
The fact that they didn't do any forensic testing on anything is really, really, really upsetting.
Yeah, because we'll never fucking know now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's been so long now. Yeah. It's just outrageous. 14
years. 2 hours. Also, didn't he come home in the morning and then leave? I know that they have text messages from Haley's phone. But yeah. I guess he was somewhere else during that time. So it's not like he could have had her.
Yeah,
phone,
his phone was here. Her phone was here. And they were both sending out text messages. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I said that.
Okay.
Strike it from the record.
Well, I forget everything you say, but the prosecution concluded that this is a, quote, complex circumstantial evidence case. And there were no known direct eyewitnesses to the murder, or any known forensic science evidence that links Sean Adkins to the murder. Also, Haley's remains were not found until March of 2013, and there were many tips provided during that time period. Because of this, with Sean Adkins remaining as the primary suspect, the current state of the evidence is not sufficient for them to proceed to trial. This case was dismissed and is subject to refile pending further investigation.
But, like, is it too late now to forensically test all those things that they collected?
I don't know. You know? I don't know. Yeah, you would think that, because they forensically test stuff all the time, like 20, 30 years later.
Yeah. So are we just waiting on that? Like, I don't, of course, they're not going to tell us. It's an open investigation and all of those things, but it's very, very disappointing that they did not do that initially, because is it a problem of how they collected it? Did they collect the evidence in such a way that it cannot be forensically tested? Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But why you wouldn't do that in the first fucking place, I just don't understand.
No.
Or at least collect it in a way, knowing that that's what you're preserving it for if you need to do that later. Like, Clint Dunn, Haley's father, has struggled since the loss of his daughter. According to his private investigator, Erica Morse, Clint has had 2 heart attacks since Haley's murder and since Adkins' release. His health problems have escalated. Morse told news outlets that Clint was not made aware of Adkins' release prior, and they believe that was intentional. What is that really would have crushed the police there?
That would have crushed him, though. I mean, I think it. I don't know what would have been better to find out after or beforehand, but either way, mm-hmm. I don't think you can get around him being crushed by that information.
No. But you do. I don't know. I feel like it's the right thing to do. I understand that the police don't have an obligation to do that.
It is the right thing to do, though.
It's the right thing to do. Clint is now working on passing a bill called Haley's Act that will focus on police accountability. Clint says that police departments haven't been accountable when they've messed up, and they don't always have transparency with the parents and families of missing and murdered people. The goal with Haley's Act is to improve police forces and add new rules and regulatory bodies. Thus far, Clint has only drafted the bill himself and is looking for lawmakers to help make this a reality. And I think that is a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, I feel like it probably won't go very far because we have seen time and time and time again blocking of anything holding law enforcement or state prosecutors or anything accountable. Mm-hmm. Sure, they might lose their license for prosecutorial misconduct. They're certainly not going to prison. If they do, it's not very long. And a lot of times, even when they've been found to have committed prosecutorial misconduct in cases, they fucking still go on to be judges. Or officers get promoted to fucking chief.
Well, yeah. And I feel like whenever anybody talks about they're not being held accountable, they're like, yes, we are. I told myself to hold myself accountable.
Yeah, an internal investigation is what we get. And they say, actually, we did everything right.
Yeah.
And look at, we just covered American Nightmare. And those police officers tried to prosecute Aaron and Denise for committing a hoax when it was 100% real. And there was evidence of that. And what happened to the guy who led the investigation? He got promoted.
Yeah,
he was named Sergeant of the fucking Year that year.
For that year, yeah.
You know, we love law enforcement. We love, you know, the bodies that help serve justice and all of those things, but there needs to be accountability for all of those people as well. You've got to do your job the right way, because what happens is I'm sorry, the evidence points to Sean Atkins. I'll say that. The evidence points to Sean Atkins, and you had him arrested and you had him charged. And then you went to fuck around and find out university, and now his ass is out on the streets.
Yeah. You blew it.
Blew it.
You prematurely blew yourself is what happened.
100%. Shot their wad all the way.
Yep. 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 But that is the case.
That's it.
Infuriating as it may be.
Let us know what you guys think.
Yes, absolutely. Why do you think Sean did it? And what did you throw out of your window when he was released?
Yep.
But thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Connect with us on Instagram or Facebook to continue the conversation. Thanks for listening, and we will meet you back here next week.
Bye.
The theme song for the show is created and composed by Stephen Toby. You can find more of Stephen's work on SoundCloud. Our logo was created by Sloan Williams of Sophisticated Crayon. You can find more of her work on Etsy. Visit us at killerqueenspodcast.com for merch and other info about the show.